When I first discovered everything, I would have been 37. I had just moved back from Los Angeles, and I decided to clear out my storage space, which had all my parents' stuff in it. I came across all these boxes, boxes full of Super 8 film and reel-to-reel audio tape and loads of photographs, and my friend Jean was with me. She saw it as a treasure trove, whereas I was just in disbelief because I had no recollection of being filmed so much or being tape recorded. I didn't remember that at all. There was a Super 8 film of me when I was probably just before puberty. My breasts were starting to develop, and my father took footage of me with my head cut off. It looked like he was focusing on my developing breasts, and what I was doing was I had my cat in the shot, and I was basically torturing the cat, which I imagine was because I was trying to distract my father because I knew he was looking at my breasts. But, you know, I don't know how aware I was, if I was even present in that moment. In so many ways, it feels like I might have even just have left my own body when stuff like that was going on, because I tend to still do that now when faced with something traumatic or distressing.
The idea of this tape is to tell us from the beginning to end everything that happened, not for us to know, but for you to know 10 or 20 years from now.
There's a series of photographs that he took of me potty training. And some people might look at these pictures taken out of context and just say, oh, those are pictures of a child potty training.
Well, first, Marina, I think you should go pee-pee.
All right.
All right? All right. I want to take a picture. Smile for me now. Atta girl. Oh, that's beautiful.
But for me, and the reason I use them in the film, was because in that instance, and in quite a few others, there was repetitive photographing on his part of women's behinds. And when I looked at it, it was like I could feel him lingering on me longer than need be. That's what the pictures felt like. It was the male gaze that I felt from him when I saw the pictures.
What are you doing, Marina? Huh? Marina? Marina?
There was a picture of me when I was probably 13 or 14, where he made me pose in white cotton underwear in a hallway in our apartment. It was the hallway outside my bedroom. And I'm obviously extremely uncomfortable and very unhappy. You know, it was very inappropriate. Why would a father be asking his 14-year-old daughter to pose in her underwear so he can take a picture? I don't think that's right.
Stand over here. I want you to say something.
Hello.
Please.
Hello.
Don't know. You're not supposed to touch those things, dear, remember? You're not supposed to touch the microphone. You know that?
Yeah.
You can't touch it. You gotta just talk to it. You wanna try again?
No.
No? Come here, talk to me.
I can't.
Come here, sit here.
On the audio tapes, really was a lot of bullying.
I pledge allegiance?
Yes. I pledge allegiance.
Don't sit on the table.
Let who I nice.
Yes. What else? Huh?
Pledge.
Wait a minute, start it again now.
I mean, the memories that I had were and are, continue to be visceral. So just hearing his voice and also hearing him constantly bullying me into doing things that I didn't want to do, and hearing myself as this tiny little girl sort of weeping and not wanting to do things.
I don't want to sing.
In probably 2003, I started really going through the archive again and decided that in order to bring some of the material into my therapy, I needed to try to maybe use editing to put together little snippets that I could bring in and show my therapist so that she could understand how this stuff made me feel.
I understand Santa Claus said he wasn't going to bring you anything. Did he say that?
No.
What did he say?
He said, if I'm very good, he'll bring something to me.
All right.
Well, I want to know if Santa Claus brought me a Chinese.
Now, wait a minute. Let's get everything ready. Oh, there's a letter.
Here's a letter. Look at what he said.
Oh, wait a minute. Dear Marina, I couldn't get you a Chinese dress in your size. I hope you will like all the other presents I brought you, Santa Claus. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess there's no Chinese dress. Because it doesn't come your size.
Why?
He says I couldn't get a Chinese dress in your size.
Oh.
Isn't that nice that he brought you a letter? Isn't that nice?
Maybe another Christmas day he could get me a Chinese.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Doesn't that card say that?
I got in really predominantly positive reaction from a lot of people. A lot of people that had had a similar experiences, which was just appalling to me, that were emailing me and continue to email me, thanking me for providing evidence for them that this kind of behavior exists and that this kind of thing is wrong. I've also gotten, not as much, but a certain amount of very angry correspondence from men who think I deserve jail time for the slander of my father and who think that I took innocent photographs and put them together in a way to make him look particularly terrible. I refer to everything in the archive as evidence because that's what it feels like to me. It's not documentation of a happy childhood. There's not one picture of my parents hugging me. There's not a film of them hugging me. There's no evidence of them ever holding me or loving me or caring about me. The pictures that are taken of me, I always am posed or looking extremely unhappy. So I guess it's evidence of a very sad childhood. I don't like the word victim, and I say that in one of the pieces that I wrote, that I prefer to think of myself as an opponent. Although, I don't know what other word to use, I guess I feel like a victim now in that I'm constantly coming up against the same challenges that I can't get past. I mean, really, all I really want, and I think it's what everybody wants in life, is to be loved. But I don't know how to let that love in, because my experience with that has been so negative that it doesn't feel good when somebody actually cares about me. It feels terrifying.